A video version of this podcast is available at AboundingJoy.com and also on our YouTube pages. Well, hey, kids, thanks for watching the video today. Today we're finishing up a brief look at the field of archaeology and how it confirms that the Bible's full of actual historical facts and it's not just a book of myths like some people claim or to believe. If you haven't watched that previous video, I would encourage you to have a look at it first because it's kind of an introduction to what we're going to do today. But today, we're just going to take a brief look at some of the specific archaeological discoveries that I personally think are pretty significant. There are many, many more, but here are a few of them. You may remember that we closed that previous video by looking at some of the engraved stones that archaeologists call stelae. And one of the most significant of these stelae is one that's called the Moabite stone. The Moabite stone, when they found it, they realized it contained some fascinating information. After they were able to translate it, they found that it was talking about a king of Moab whose name was Mishah. And interestingly, we read about Mishah in the Bible. It's in 2 Kings chapter 3. The writing on that stone says that he came up against Israel. And we read about that in the Bible. And the writing on the stone mentioned the name of the king of Israel who established the dynasty that was in power at that time, and his name was Omri. And we read about Omri in the Bible. By the way, if you don't remember Omri, you may remember Ahab. Omri was the father of Ahab. You remember King Ahab? A wicked king. Ahab, by the way, was the husband of that infamous wicked woman named Jezebel. You remember her? Elijah had to deal with him. You remember that account? Omri was his dad, and this stone mentions Omri. The stone also mentions the house of David. Some people, before this was found, didn't even believe David was a real person. Of course, David was the second king of Israel, who had been king of Israel earlier before it had divided into these two different kingdoms. Of course, we read about him in the Bible. The stone also mentions the name of 12 towns that were being fought over. All of these towns are mentioned in the Bible. The stone mentions the name of the god of the Moabites. His name is Chemosh. And the Bible refers to Chemosh several times as the god of the Moabites. The stone even mentions the name of the true God, Yahweh. You remember the name Yahweh? That's the Hebrew word, the primary name that God gives himself in the Bible. We sometimes transliterate it into Jehovah. It's his main name. I believe the Moabite stone is the earliest reference we have to God as Yahweh outside the Bible itself. So, of course, this was an exciting discovery for Bible believers, and it was a little unnerving for people who simply wanted to reject the Bible as just full of mythology, made up stories. Because, man, it was definitely just going right along with the biblical account. The biblical account wasn't a made up story at all, of course. This kind of confirmed that. Here's another fascinating discovery. Can you read some of that? It's an engraved stone, a stelae, and it's called a pilot stone. There were some historians who doubted the existence of Pilate. They thought maybe he was just another fictional character that Bible writers made up. Well, in 1961, they found the pilot stone. Sometimes they call it the pilot inscription. And there it is right there. In fact, here's an artist's rendering. Makes it a little clearer. You can see there. What it would have looked like originally. So archaeologists looked at it and translated it, and they realized that there's Pontius Pilate's name right there. Can you see it? Pontius Pilate right there. The entire engraving reads something like this. For the Caesareans, the Tiberium, which Pontius Pilate, the prefect to Judea, gave and dedicated. So here's something archaeologists found that convinced everyone that, wow, Pilate's definitely not just a fictional character, is he? He really did live. He really was a prefect in Judea at the time of Jesus. And that issue was settled for a lot of the honest skeptics. Of course, it was frustrating for those who just wanted to put the Bible in the category of mythology. Not only did they find the Pilate stone, but they also found a pavement from which Pilate held his court, the Pilate pavement. It's referred to in John chapter 19. You remember the people were crying out at this point for Jesus to be crucified. Remember that? They found that pavement where it happened. It's mentioned in John chapter 19, verse 13. Then there was a pool in the New Testament called the Pool of Siloam. It's mentioned in John chapter 9, verse 7. Jesus told the blind man to go wash there. Archaeologists found it. You remember the pool at Bethesda? Mentioned in John chapter 5. There was a crippled man healed there by Jesus. They found that pool too. In the 1960s, they found the foundations of Herod's temple. This is what you're seeing right here is a model of Herod's temple, but they discovered that it extended all the way around the Temple Mount, much bigger than people had thought it was, and pretty much the way the Bible describes it, of course. There are many other things that archaeologists have found. Let me just mention a few of them very quickly. They discovered that writing really did exist in Moses' day, after many scholars had said Moses could not have written the first five books of the Old Testament because writing wasn't even in existence at that point in time. Archaeologists have proved them to be wrong. Writing certainly was in existence. They discovered that names of the patriarchs and places mentioned in the Bible, what tells about the patriarchs, the book of Genesis, that those names and places are really accurate. There were scholars who had said those names were out of place. They really weren't that ancient, that they were newer from a later period of time. That would include names like, for example, Abraham and Jacob and Nahor and Benjamin and Gad and Dan and Levi and Ishmael and Terah. They found all these names. And they really were from the time period where the Bible says they belong, of course. So once again, the archaeologists demonstrated that the experts were wrong. The Bible's correct again. Archaeologists have found that the customs of the patriarchs that are recorded in Scripture in the Old Testament really are confirmed with other writings like marriage customs and family customs and the selling of the birthright, those kind of things. Archaeologists discovered that the word tehom, which is a Hebrew word found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it means the deep. It's translated the deep. Darkness was on the face of the deep, tehom. Well, it really is a word that was used anciently in Moses' day. And again, the word tehom was thought by some scholars to be a very recent word compared to Moses, that Moses could not have written Genesis because that word wasn't even around. And once again, the archaeologists found it. No, the Bible is true. They discovered that the Hittites existed. For many, many years, actually up into the 1800s, many historians just simply said the Hittites really weren't a people. They didn't even exist. They were an imaginary, fictional people made up in the Bible because that's the only place they could find them mentioned in the Bible. They thought, we just can't trust the Bible. Well, now, of course, they found other references to the Hittites. Some scholars doubted the references to Solomon's wealth that's recorded in Scripture. They said, this can't be accurate. But now they discovered, yes, it was accurate. There was an Assyrian king named Sargon. For a long time, experts thought, no, we don't think this guy really existed. Again, because the only reference they had of him was in the Bible. Now, of course, they found other references to Sargon. They found the reference to Sargon capturing Ashdod. And you can read about that in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 20. It was recorded on the palace walls. Same kind of thing happened with Belshazzar in Daniel chapter 5. Do you remember Belshazzar? For a long time, scholars doubted that he existed. They didn't have any references to him outside the book of Daniel. But sure enough, they found the references to him. He existed. Not only that, this is fascinating. You may remember in Daniel chapter 5, verse 29, Belshazzar offered to make Daniel the third highest ruler in the land. Not the second, the third. And that seemed a little strange. Who was the second? Well, it turns out that Belshazzar was the second because his dad's name was Nabonidus, and Nabonidus was still alive. He reigned with Nabonidus for a while. And so those two men, Nabonidus and Belshazzar, would have been the top two rulers in the land. So it was logical for Daniel to be offered third highest. So what Daniel wrote made perfect sense, and it was confirmed by archaeology. Genesis 36:31 says there were kings in Edom before there were any Israelite kings. In 2019, archaeologists learned that the Edomite kingdom existed hundreds of years earlier than historians previously had thought, again, confirming the Bible. The Bible says there was a priestly family by the name of Immer that served in the temple, 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 14. And in 2019, archaeologists discovered a clay seal from the Temple Mount area there. And that seal was inscribed with these words, belonging to Gaal Yahu, son of Immer. Again, confirming the biblical account. In 2 Kings chapter 23, verse 11, Nathan Melech is described as an official in the court of King Josiah. Well, in 2019, archaeologists discovered a seal of Nathan Melech, the king's servant. In 2018, archaeologists found a seal from the time of Isaiah. This seems to have a signature that reads, belonging to Isaiah the prophet. Isn't that amazing? That's not totally conclusive because the Hebrew word that would be translated prophet is kind of cut off and partially missing, but it looks like it was probably the word prophet. So many archaeologists are convinced this is a signature from Isaiah the prophet that they found. Once again, confirming scripture. You get the idea, don't you? I mean, these are just a few of the examples of many things archaeologists have found, and they keep on finding that confirm scripture. Places in scripture, people in scripture, events in scripture that at one time were doubted. But now archaeologists have learned about them from other sources, and yes, they just confirm what the Bible had already told us. Let me show you a great quote here. This is from a great archaeologist. His name was Nelson Gluck. He died back in 1971. He was the president at Hebrew Union College. He personally discovered over 1,500 ancient sites. And Gluck said, after many years of study, look at this quote. He said, it may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference. That's pretty strong. In other words, every time archaeological discoveries were made by him or by anybody else he knew, it agreed with scripture. Another great archaeologist name was William Albright. He was an American archaeologist. He died in 1971. He was called the dean of biblical archaeology because he did so much work in this field. And he said this, look at this quote, discovery after discovery has established the accuracy of innumerable details in the Bible. In other words, those details were not just invented, made up by creative minds of men who wrote the scriptures. These are actual historical accounts. One more great archaeologist I want to mention, a man named Sir William Ramsay. He was an atheist when he started his work in archaeology. He was a professor, by the way, at Oxford University. That's just outside of London. Remember, Oxford is the oldest English-speaking university in the world. A lot of people consider it the most prestigious university in the world. So he was quite a famous guy. He died in 1939. And he actually set out, according to his own testimony now, to use archaeology to disprove the Book of Acts. Before he began his archaeological work, he doubted a lot of the details in the Book of Acts could possibly be true. He said, this can't be accurate. But you know what happened, of course? After 25 years of archaeological study, he was totally turned around. He was overwhelmed by the accuracy in the Book of Acts. That's where he focused all his attention. And he also gave up his atheism and became a follower of Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Here's one of his quotes. Listen, he said this. Further study showed that the Book of Acts could bear the most minute scrutiny as an authority for the facts of the Aegean world. Now, the Aegean world, he means the areas around the Aegean Sea there. We call it Turkey and Greece today. In those days, it was Asia Minor, Roman province of Asia, Macedonia, Achaia. Some of the most significant centers of power in that day was right in that area. It's where Paul spent a lot of his time on his missionary journeys. He goes on, and that it was written with such judgment and skill and art and perception of truth as to be a model of historical statement. Do you hear what he's saying? He's recognizing that Luke wrote very carefully, very meticulously, very accurately, precisely about the historical details that are recorded in the Book of Acts. Of course, Luke was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He got it right. Here's another quote by Sir William Ramsay. He said, I set out to look for truth on the borderland where Greece and Asia meet and found it there in Acts. He said, you may press the words of Luke in a degree beyond any other historians, and they stand the keenest scrutiny and the hardest treatment. they're accurate. And he became a Christian. So archaeologists, many of them, have simply said, wow, the details of the Bible have been confirmed by what we find here as we dig into these rocks. So once again, are we saying that archaeology proves God wrote the Bible? No, you can't take it that far. Archaeology cannot prove God wrote the Bible. But we are saying that archaeology does confirm the fact that the details we find in the Bible are accurate historical details. It is a historical book. It's not mythology. The Bible and archaeology are good friends. And listen, guys, that can go a long way in helping some skeptics, like it did Sir William Ramsay, to begin to take the Bible very seriously. And the Holy Spirit can use that to draw people to Jesus. He can, and he has, just as he did with Sir William Ramsay. So God can use archaeology to get men's attention. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, again, for raising up archaeologists like these men we've been looking at today, and for the things they found, like some of the things we've looked at today. And Lord, we know we've just scratched the surface. There's so much more. But thank you for making it clear to the doubters, if they really want to see it, that your book is historically accurate. It's not a bunch of myths. It's not a bunch of made-up stories. It's not a bunch of fiction. It's history. So thank you for giving us archaeology to help confirm that to people who have been doubters and skeptics. Help us to use this information well and wisely as we help other people take your word more seriously, maybe, than they have before. Thank you so much for the way you confirm your word. And we look forward to getting into more of the things you've given us, Lord. It's pretty awesome. You're amazing. You're awesome in all your ways. And we love you. We praise you. We want to bring you a lot of glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.